Would you just stand up? I mean, he's in the room right now. Would you just stand? I know you've been standing all morning. We're going to stand for him. We're just going to give him all the glory today. You can just feel him coming into the room right now. I just felt when you were singing that last song, I just felt this wave of emotion hit me. And I used to stand in church for so long, and I would see these people worshiping, and I'd see people crying, and I'd be like, huh, how do you feel things? How do you feel things? I feel like I should feel something. And I just kept standing and standing in worship for so much of my life, and I kept looking around and seeing all these people, and I just saw them having an experience that I wasn't having, and I just thought, I'm probably just too mature for emotions. I'm too spiritually mature for emotions. And as we're singing out those words today, buried in Joseph's tomb, it just hit me what he's done for us. And these tears start streaming down my face. And I just got hit in my spirit. And I just felt him saying, there's others in here today. You've been scarred and wounded. You've been hurt deep in your soul. And you haven't let yourself feel anything for so long. Today, he wants you to feel something again. He's a healer. It starts with forgiveness. When you come into worship, before you get to the altar, if there is an offense, if there is a hurt within you, you go and make it right. This is your chance. You can make it right right now. Just begin to pray blessings over that person the Holy Spirit is bringing to mind. The person that you're angry at, that you're bitter at, that you have been so mad at for so long, and it's built up wounds and it's built up scars over your heart and you can't even feel anymore. Just begin to pray a blessing right there where you are for that person. Just begin to say it. Lord Jesus, I love that person. I love him. And I pray that you would just bless him, that you would bless her, that you would heal her, that you would heal her family, that you would heal her marriage, that you would heal her children, that her children would love you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Just begin to pray a blessing over those people. Begin to pray the desires of your heart for them. And you're going to see the scars are getting removed. He's ripping them off right now, but you got healed today. And it's a choice. You got to choose to say and declare those words. He's not going to do it for you. You got to take that first step. Draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. He wants to heal what's been broken and wounded. You're going to feel something today you haven't felt in a long time. Since you were a child, you've been wounded, you've been hurt by somebody, and you closed yourself up, you closed yourself off. But I just feel him healing you today. That's what he does. Joseph was a young man when he was thrown into a pit by his brothers. He was a kid. Some of you, you were a kid when that person hurt you. You were a kid when they spoke that lie over you. You were a kid when they abused you. But he was right there with you in the pit. He never left you. He never left you. He was there with you in the pit. And he's healing you right now. And you can forgive that person. You can begin to pray blessings over them. Because let me tell you something. You may have looked at them as the enemy, but the enemy, the battle's not against flesh and blood. The battle's against the darkness, against the powers, against the principalities of the unseen realm. These spirits that work through the flesh. And I'm telling you, that person that hurt you, somebody hurt them. And Jesus wants to release healing in your life and their life. Begin to pray healing for that person, restoration for that person, forgiveness for that person. God told me this week. This is going to be a house where it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. Because there's some sins that we kind of blacklisted and we've said, that's too bad, that's too far gone. But I'm telling you, the darkest of the dark will come into this house and they'll be healed. Some people are going to say, what I'm about to say, you shouldn't be saying this in church, but I'm going to say it. There's going to be pedophiles that come into this house, and Jesus is going to heal them. Can you be okay with that? That's a hard one, right? He can heal anyone and everyone. That's what kind of house this is. That's who He is. That's the Savior we worship. And this is a house where when people come in who have been hurt, we see that and we realize that, and we begin to speak and declare God's truth over them. And there's nobody too far gone. There's nobody too lost. There's nobody in too dark of a pit that Jesus cannot restore and lift up out of the pit. That's what kind of house this is. So whatever it is for you, for me, I just told you what it was for a long time, that I thought, no, that's too far. But He's been convicting me this week. I can heal them. You didn't believe me. You didn't trust me. You didn't know what kind of power I have to heal, but I can heal them also, and I want to heal them because I created them, and they're a son, and they're a daughter. He's a healer. Genesis 45. Joseph's brothers had come. They had come to Egypt and they had found Joseph. He wasn't in the pit anymore. He wasn't in prison anymore. No, he was in power in Egypt. And it says, Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, out of all of you, so he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and wept. He felt something he hadn't felt. He wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him, and word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. Please come closer, he said to them. So they came closer, and he said again, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive, to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And He is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace, governor of all Egypt. Let's pray. We just praise you and we thank you in this place. I pray that the pits that we've been in, the pits that we are in, the pits that we'll face someday, that we will keep our eyes on you, that we will keep our faith and trust in you, that we will endure to the end, because we know what your word says, that you're working all things together for the good of those who love you. And so we just praise you. In the pit, out of the pit, in season, out of season, it doesn't matter. We praise you. Whether we feel like it or whether we don't, we praise you. Jesus, you are good. You are worthy. We give you all the glory, all the honor. In your name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat now, church. Made you stand for a marathon this morning. Woo. He's worthy. I had a little time away this past month, and He's just been dropping things on me. And one of the things, I was driving one day in my car, and Andrew and I, one of the things we've been working on in this season, while I've been taking a little time away from preaching, one of the things we've been working on has been some of our leadership structure and our core values, who we are as a house. Because God has been refining that from the very beginning when He first put it on our hearts to begin this house of revival. There were things He gave us and things He showed us, but there's things He's been teaching us along the way, and so we've been refining that in this season. And one of those things he's been showing us and teaching us is he's raising up pastors. He's raising up shepherds in this house. And he's preparing them. But in a season of preparation, there's something he's always teaching us. And so you have to remember, sometimes you can see the vision of where you want to go. Joseph, he saw the vision, he saw the dream of where his life was going. Do you remember that? When he was a young boy, God gave him a dream, and he shared that dream with his brothers and with his parents. And what was that dream? It was all of them bowing down to him, that he'd be a ruler in the land. How did his family handle that? Not well. Not great. Imagine taking that to your family. How would they handle that? Dad, you're going to bow down to me someday. My dad's here today. Hey, Dad, how you doing? Just preaching. But let me tell you something. God gave him a vision of where things were going. Sometimes when God gives you a vision and a dream, he doesn't always tell you the timing. If God had told him the timing, I'm not sure Joseph would have wanted what was ahead, because the timing and the plan looked a lot different than the dream. There was a process that God had to walk him through from the time he gave him the vision and the dream to the time he was actually ready and prepared to handle the leadership of that first vision, that dream that he had given him. There's training that we have to go through. Some of you, you've got a vision and a dream. God's given you one. He's shown you where he wants to take you in your life. But there's a season of training that you have to go through to get there. Can you trust him in that process? Can you trust him when your family turns on you? Can you trust him when your own family, those closest to you, when they throw you in the pit and they're plotting how to kill you, how to get rid of you, what to do with you, how to cut your life off? Can you trust him in those dark moments, in those pit seasons? So I'm driving along, and I'm thinking about some of these leaders that he's raising up, people that I know he's given me a vision of where they're going and what he's calling them to do and what he's speaking into their lives and into the lives of our leadership here in this house. And he hits me with this phrase. He says that they're pastors in training. And I really like acronyms, and I'm thinking about that phrase he just hits in my spirit, and I'm like, Pitt. I'm like, Lord, that sounds kind of negative. Like, are you sure that's what you want us to, the term you want us to use? And he said, reframe it. Like, you're just thinking of a pit, like something like dark, something that people fall into. What else is a pit? What have you been talking about all year about being planted in God's house? What do you plant if you want to grow an avocado? What do you plant if you want to grow a peach? What do you plant? You plant a pit. A pit's a seed. And he just kept sharing that to me and showing me. And he said, now go back to the first pit that you were thinking of, that dark space, that hole in the ground. He said, you thought that was a negative thing. You thought that was a bad thing. But where do you plant a pit? You plant a pit in a pit. Where does your greatest growth come from? It comes from underneath the ground, underneath the surface. Where is a tree strongest? Its roots. What holds a tree down firm and strong when the storms come? Deep, solid roots. That's a revelation from the Lord. Get that. Take that. Receive that today. Some of you needed that because right now you feel like you're in a pit. Let me tell you something. He's growing deep roots in this season. Praise him in the pit. Just begin to praise him in the pit. You may not feel like it because all you can see is darkness. All you can see is light above you, and it feels like you're just walking in the darkness and there's no hope, there's no glory. But let me tell you something. He's with you in the pit, and he's working in the pit, and he's walking with you in the pit, and there's growth happening that cannot happen outside of the pit. Your darkest seasons will become your greatest ability, your greatest strengths, to how he wants to use you in his kingdom. You can minister out of those seasons that you've been in the pit, that you've come out of the darkness, if you'll continue to walk with him. When Pastor Andrew, when he was preaching a few weeks back, we were praying with him before service, and I've shared this vision a few times, but God just gave me this vision of him standing on the outside of a cave that the Lord had led him out of. And it was a dark cave, and it went down deep into the ground. And God had led him out of this cave, and he had given him a lantern. He'd given him a light. And he said, now go back and lead others. That's what he does. The darkest places you've been, the places you feel like nobody could ever understand this, nobody could ever know what I've been through, if you'll begin to walk with him in healing and forgiveness for what happened to you in the pit, he will promote you and use you in the kingdom to minister to those who are walking in the darkest places. He will use you to be a guide, to go back into the dark places, to carry the light of Jesus, and to show others the way, to lead them out of the darkness and into the light, into freedom, into healing, into everything that God has for them. Just carry the light. If you're in a pit right now, I just want to encourage you. Don't let the devil get you to stop. Don't let the devil get you to quit. The devil wants to try to offer you an easy way out of the pit. He wants to try. If Joseph would have just shut up about his dreams, if he would have just said, no, I'll serve you, brothers. I'll serve you. I'll never talk about it again. If he just would have shut his mouth and never declared what God had spoken to him again, his brothers would have just got him out of the pit and would have just said, all right, everything's fine. You're our servant. Do what we say. Now we're good again. No. Hold on to the promises of God when you are in those dark spaces. Hold on to what God says in his word, what God has declared, what he has spoken over your life. Hold on to his promises when you're in the pit. Don't take that easy way out that the devil's trying to offer you. Don't run when things get hard, when things get difficult. Stay planted where God has you and trust that he's working all things together for the good of those who love him. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently, this is David, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Stay patient in the pit. I forgot to say this in the beginning, but if you want the scriptures, if you want my notes, what I'm looking at today, you can just text Rev Notes to 94,000. You'll get all the scriptures, everything that I've got right here on my screen. You can follow along. Just a little cheat code if you want to look along. Verse 3, he has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. You praise in the pit and you praise out of the pit. You praise during the pit, you praise before the pit, you praise after the pit. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Oh, the joys of those who trust the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols. Oh, Lord my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. Just begin to praise him when you're in the pit. Just begin to read the Psalms out loud. Even though you don't feel like it, you can make a choice to just begin to read his word and declare it over your life. You take no delight in sacrifices or offerings. Now that you have made me listen, I finally understand. You don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. Then I said, look, I have come, as is written about me in the scriptures. I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. I have told all your people about your justice. I have not been afraid to speak out, as you, O Lord, well know. I have not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. Keep talking about his faithfulness. Keep talking about his power to save. I have told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. Lord, don't hold back your tender mercies from me. Let your unfailing love and faithfulness always protect me, for troubles surround me, too many to count. My sins pile up so high, I can't see my way out. They outnumber the hairs on my head. I've lost all courage. Please, Lord, rescue me. Come quickly, Lord, and help me. Cry out when you're in the pit. He hears you. May those who try to destroy me be humiliated and put to shame. May those who take delight in my trouble be turned back in disgrace. Let them be horrified by their shame, for they said, aha, we've got him now. But may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you. May those who love your salvation repeatedly shout, "The Lord is great! As for me, since I am poor and needy, let the Lord keep me in his thoughts. You are my helper and my savior. Oh my God, do not delay." Praise in the pit. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you abandoned me? You feel abandoned when you're in the pit. Why are you so far away when I groan for help? It feels like he's far away. Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. When you praise, he comes in the room. We keep teaching about praise. We keep teaching about worship. It's not about how you feel. Sometimes you come into the room and you think, oh, if I don't feel like lifting my hands, if I don't feel like clapping, then I'm not going to do it because I don't want to be fake. It's not about being fake. It's about making a choice. Because he's worthy, we make the choice to give him our hands, to bow to our knees, to sing with loud voices, to clap our hands. I know it's hard, white people, all right? I know it's tough. I'm up here and I'm like, come on, Lord, help me. Please, God, give me a gift right now. And those of you who have been blessed with rhythm, use it. Use it, all right? But I know there's some white people that know my pain in here, but I don't care because I'm going to give them my best. And my best, it may not sound the best, but I'm going to try because he's worthy. I'm going to jump, I'm going to dance, I'm going to sing, I'm going to bow, even though I don't always feel like it. My wife and I, she talked about this last week, that I made her come sit up in the front a long time ago when we started Revival. And I was like, you're right, I made myself. I didn't want to do it either. But God said, in my house, you got to show my people the way. And you got to lead from the front. You've been hiding in the back for too long, son. That's what he said to me. You just wanted to hide and you wanted to watch. You wanted to observe. No, no, no. You're a worshiper like David. And so you got to get up there and you got to learn how to dance and you got to learn how to jump and you got to learn how to bow. You got to learn how to do it even when you don't feel like it. Give him 5 minutes of praise. Here you go. Come on. No, not 5 minutes. 5 seconds. 5 seconds. He's worthy of 5 minutes, but our hands are going to grow tired. We'll grow weary, but he's our strength. Give him praise even when you don't feel like it. He's worthy. That's what we do. And let me tell you something. That praise will get you through the pit. That will get you into the next season. If you will just keep showing up, if you'll just keep worshiping him, if you'll keep declaring his faithfulness, his salvation over your life and over the lives of others, he loves you. He cares for you. Give him your all. First Samuel 22. David, the man who was in the pit. David, the young boy who the prophet Samuel came to when Saul had fallen, when Saul had stepped into disobedience. God told Samuel, go to this family. I've got my next king of Israel. And Saul went and he saw this tall brother and he was like, this is the guy right here. And God said, nope, not him. And he said, you got any others? And he kept bringing them in, one after another. And finally, he was like, is there nobody else? And he's like, well, there's one more, the youngest. He's out in the field. He's taking care of the sheep. What'd Samuel say? He said, bring him. So they brought David in. And God said, this is the one. And Samuel anointed his head with oil. And he blessed him. He laid his hands upon him. This would be the next king of Israel. Imagine catching that vision when you're just a young boy and thinking, like, this is it. Like, all my brothers, they've been picking on me. They've been mean. But guess what? I'm the next king of Israel. This is it. It's about to happen. Did it happen that day? No. Did it happen that week? No. Did it happen that year? No. There were moments that God kept showing him what was ahead. And he kept showing him and giving him signs of what was to come. Of that first promise, of that first word spoken over him by the prophet Samuel. But there were also moments where he was serving in the court of the king, King Saul. And King Saul took a spear in his hand and he threw it at David to kill him. And David went on the run. And while David is on the run, I'm telling you, that is a pit season right there. When David is writing these psalms about being in the pit, being on the run, they are coming for him. They're trying to kill him. They're saying lies about him. They're gossiping. They're slandering about him. And he's on the run. And he just keeps thinking, but what about what Samuel said? I thought this was going to happen. I thought this was coming soon. But he kept faith in the pit. He kept faith in the cave. He was in this cave, it says in 1 Samuel 22. David therefore departed from there after Saul was trying to kill him, and he escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. So now all of a sudden, his brothers and his fathers, they come to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. He's sitting there in this cave. And he's looking around at this band of losers. Losers. And he's like, Lord, I thought I was supposed to be king over Israel. You made me captain over the three D's. The three D's, Lord. These losers, the distressed, the indebted, the discontented. He gave them losers. And what did David do? He shepherded and he led those men. What's it say in Zechariah 4, 8 through 10? Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Verse 10, do not despise small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. David was in the pit, and he was thinking, Lord, this doesn't look like where I thought you were taking me. And God was just saying, this is preparation season. Show me that you can handle the 400, and I'll give you the 4 million. Show me that you can lead the 400, and I'll give you all of Israel. You have to learn how to steward what I've given you before I can give you more. That's a law. That's the law of the good steward. Those who steward well will be given more. That's a biblical law. That's a biblical principle. And so some of you keep asking for more. You haven't been stewarding what he's already given you. Steward it well. Man, the words, God just keeps giving me this word. He just keeps telling me this over and over, this word, intentional. Be intentional with everything I've given you. Steward well what I've given you, and I'm going to trust you with more. Steward well what I've given you, and I'm going to trust you with more. And so that's what David did. Even in the pit, even in the darkness, even in the cave, when he was on the run and they wanted his head, God used him and he multiplied him. He grew him and he opened doors for him because he made the choice that even in the pit, he was going to steward well every opportunity that God gave him. And that's what he did. And let me tell you something. Do you know about these men? 2 Samuel 23. Go to 2 Samuel 23. Right there in the very beginning. 2 Samuel 23. There it is. I didn't put this verse in your notes, but bounce back up with me. 23 verse 8. 2 Samuel 23 verse 8. These are the names of David's mightiest warriors. These men became known as David's mighty men. And I remember as a high schooler, like somebody telling me about these guys, and I started going through and looking at these passages about all the things they did. how God used them. And this past week it hit me. Who are these men before they came and got planted under the leadership of David, God's anointed? They were those who were in distress. They were those who were in debt. They were those who were discontented. What did David do? He stewarded. Do you feel that? You feel the Spirit moving on this? He stewarded well those that God had given them. He stewarded well those 400. And out of those 400, there were mighty men that arose. There were mighty men that arose and walked in power. And the Spirit came upon them. Now go down to verse 20. One of those men was Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. He went down into a pit with a lion and he killed it. It was one day. He wasn't in the pit 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Let me tell you something. When you place yourself in God's house under godly leadership who God has anointed, what happens? The anointing flows down. The oil flows down. That's what happened under these men. They knew that God had appointed David as king over Israel. They were the 400 who knew and understood the anointing that was on his life. And they came and got planted, and the oil flowed down. And God raised them up. And guess what? When you get planted where the oil is flowing, where the Holy Spirit is moving, when you get planted in God's house, where he is moving and doing miracles, I'm telling you, the oil flows down and he is raising up mighty men and women in this house, in his church. That's what he does. And he takes you from in debt, from distress, from discontentment, and he raises you up, and he raises you up to a place where, guess what? David paved the way. David went first. And so did he spend years being chased and hunted on the run? Yeah. But those who followed him, they got to experience acceleration. Benaiah, he didn't stay in the pit for years. He went into the pit and he came right back out. And I'm telling you, that same anointing, it's in this house. So if you've been in a pit, stay planted in God's house, because he's going to bring you out quick. And it's going to happen all of a sudden. But you got to stay faithful, and you got to have that heart of patience and endurance to stay planted even when it looks desperate. Even when you feel that discontent rising in you, will you stay planted and follow where God has called you? Because he's going to accelerate your life. And every pit that comes, you're just going to see. He moves you from pit to pit, from place to place, from glory to glory. Don't lose hope when you're in between glories. When you go from one glory to the next, and you're in that two season, and you don't see the next glory coming, and it feels like you're in a pit. Don't lose hope. Keep going forward and keep following him. Keep walking with him. And know he's going to bring you out. He's going to walk you out of that pit, and he's going to walk you into the next glory, into what he's called you for, to what he's created you for, because that's who he is. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Walk with him all the days of your life. Worship team, I want to invite you up. Exodus 27:20. You shall command the people of Israel that they will bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may regularly be set to burn. This was for the tabernacle. When God was telling Moses his plans, his design for the tabernacle, they were to keep a lamp burning, to keep the fire burning. They were to bring pure, beaten olive oil. Oof, when you're in the pit, it feels like you're getting beat. It hurts. It's dark. It can feel lonely. It can feel desperate. It can feel like this beating's never going to end. But what God is producing, if you will stay patient, if you will endure to the end, it is pure. It is holy. It's a refining fire that He wants to keep burning inside of you because you are a temple. You're a tabernacle of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Keep that fire burning. Don't let that fire go out. And so when you face the beatings, when you face the discouragement, when you're in the pit, don't let the devil tell you there's an easier way. When Jesus was in the garden, He asked the Father, "Is there another way?" The devil, he tried giving Him another way when He was in the wilderness. He said, "I can give you the kingdoms of the world. Look out, I can give you everything." And Jesus said, no, I'm going the Father's way. I'm not taking your way. I'm not taking the easy way out." And when He was in the garden, He didn't feel like going through what He knew He had to go through. But God didn't give Him another way. And what did He do? He didn't follow His feelings. He made a choice. When the soldiers came, He gave Himself up. Legions of angels could have came down and delivered Him in that moment. But He said, no, I'm making the choice. I'm going to lay my life down. Because I know the beating I'm going to endure, the pain I'm going to go through, it's going to produce a holy fire in my people. It's worth every second, every moment of what I have to go through. And if there's no other way, I'm going to choose to go the Father's way. Will you choose to go the Father's way today? Will you choose? Just stand up and declare that. Just say that. Just say it. Put your hands in the air and just say, "Father, I want to go your way. There is no other way." Just put your hands out to receive what He's got for you today. Holy Spirit, just fill us up in this moment. Help us to look back on every pit we've ever been in, every beating we've ever taken. And Lord, I just pray that You'd give us pit vision, that You'd give us the vision that You have for what You're doing in our life, how You've been moving, and how You've been working all things together for our good. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would give people in here a vision right now for what's ahead, that it would give them hope to move forward, even in the darkness, even when they don't see a way out of the pit, that they would know that You're with them, that You're walking with them, that You love them, that You chose them. Jesus, thank You for choosing us. We weren't worthy, but Your Son was. Woo. Jesus, You're in the room right now. 2 Corinthians 4 through 10. "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies." You carry the life of Jesus in your body. You carry the light of the world in your body. He chose you for such a time as this. Do not despise small beginnings. He's doing a work in you right now. Let me tell you something. Jesus, thank You. There's moments. Ooh, Jesus. There's been a few moments in the history of revival when I'm preaching. Thank You, Jesus. Woo! When I'm preaching and the Holy Spirit comes on me so strong that I can't feel my hands and they go numb. And He's taught me that means His manifest healing presence is in the room. If you want healing today, if there's something you've been believing Him for, just come forward for prayer today, and I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's going to move. I can't feel my hands right now. He wants to heal you. He loves you. It's not us. It's the light that we carry. There's nothing special about me except I carry the light in me. That's what we do when we walk in our authority. We're just walking in the authority that he's given us, the keys to the kingdom that he's handed us. And there, man, he's moving right now. If you want the Holy Spirit, if you want a fresh filling today, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you want to get saved today, come forward, find somebody on our ministry team. Just tell them, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I want that fresh life. I want his Spirit flowing in me. I want the holy fire because I need him to walk with me in the pit. I need him to carry me out, and I need him to carry me into glory, to glory, to glory. Jesus, we praise you right now. The devil wants you to sit back. The devil wants you to stay seated. The devil wants you to stay in your place. He wants you to leave your hands down. He wants to leave your arms crossed. But I'm telling you, make a choice today to declare he's worthy in this moment. Just begin to declare it. Jesus, you are worthy. Just begin to say it. Let it come out of your lips right now. Even though you don't feel like it, just say it. Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. We're going to praise him. We're going to worship him. Don't let the devil convince you there's another way. Jesus is telling you, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody else came for you. I came for you. I love you and I chose you. I knew you in the womb before you were even born. I formed you. Thank you, Jesus. Woo!